world, but I'm glad the Lord got a hold of my heart. 17-year-old boy changed my life, changed my direction. And I maybe got to sneak around a little bit and taste some of what was in the world, but I'm thankful I never made it all the way to the far country before the Lord rescued my life. And you say, well, how do you know then? How do you know? Because I've lived long enough to watch folk go out there and try it. I've lived long enough to watch people go out there and try to fill the reason of their life with worldly things. And I've seen some of them get busted absolutely to pieces and not find what they're looking for. And I tell you, you'll find it in the Lord Jesus. You'll find it in the Word of God. He is the only reason worth living. Amen. Nehemiah 3 this evening. Nehemiah 3. And when you get a preacher like Brother Voles come through, your mind goes, should I let him preach? And I could let him preach, and it would be wonderful, I'm sure. No doubt about it. He always feeds our soul. But we begun this on last Sunday night, and I just have meditated on it all week again and all through the afternoon, getting our mind ready on this. I'm pretty sure if I let him preach and me not preach, I'm going to explode. All right. And we don't want that this evening. And I promise he's coming back. If I have anything to say about it, November the 6th, Pastor Appreciation Day, Brother Voles will be back. And he'll be preaching for us on that Lord's Day. And you don't want to miss that. Stand with me. We've been doing a study out of the book of Nehemiah chapter 3 on the 10 gates that are mentioned in this text as the gates and the portion of the walls that Nehemiah has gone back, no doubt under the will of God and under inspiration of God. He has been directed back. A way has been made. And they are repairing the walls and they are repairing the gates. And they're setting all the city back in order. And what a testimony Nehemiah chapter 3 is in a reflection of our own Christian life. Jerusalem, of course, being the city of God, the place God chose to put his name, and the place God said he would dwell. That's where the people of God in that dispensation went and worshiped the Lord. And we don't go to a particular city tonight. God dwells within us as children of God. And we're thankful for that habitation God has made in every born-again child of God. We are His temple. But Nehemiah chapter 3, I believe, speaks of our walk with Him. And it gives us insight into what we're calling gateways to the presence of God. In each of these gates, we find spiritual application to our own unique walk with God and as children of God in this time and in this generation. And we've covered 8 of them already, and we're on this 9th gate. And so I won't read all the chapter. We'll just read a verse and a half, Nehemiah 3:29. Jump in the middle of the verse where the Bible said, after him repaired Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate. After him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the 6th son of Zalaph, another piece. After him repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. And we'll leave off our reading there. You can be seated. Let's pray briefly. We'll ask the Lord to help us tonight. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for another opportunity to enter in the house of the Lord. We pray in the lovely high name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you continue to send help in this service. Thank you for the songs that have been sung. Lord, the ways that they have touched our heart and caused our eyes to be cast upon our God. Lord, in worship, in gratitude, in thankfulness, and in stirring our soul, Lord, we give you praise for that. Lord, you know this evening the message it lays heavy upon our heart. And Lord, the ways that you've challenged my life, Lord, from this text. And Lord, the way you've called upon us to deliver it to the church again tonight. Lord, we'll need your help to do that. Fill us, Lord, from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot. Lord, with the power and the unction of God, touch our voice as it's weak. Touch our mind. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, that we'd have clarity of thought and touch our heart and grant liberty tonight, Lord, to preach. And Lord, I pray the church would be edified and encouraged, challenge and change, Lord, in this one service. And for all that you do, we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And without doing a whole lot of covering a lot of ground we've already covered, we understand in this text we come the ninth of the ten gates as repaired in the days of Nehemiah. The gate at hand tonight again that we begun on last week is the matter of the east gate. All of this began in verse number one with the sheep gate. That is the gate that represents Christ in his high priestly ministry as his entering into our life as the Lamb of God and the sacrifice being made for our sin. We see him in the sheep gate as the shepherd of our soul. What a blessing it is that once we are saved, we're in the family of God. We begin our journey with the Lord. Now how each of these gates that followed began to speak to you and I of our spiritual life. I'm glad, thank God, I got in one day. I met the Lamb of God and the high priest of my salvation. And thank God, got introduced to the one who would be the shepherd of my soul and lead me safe home. What a blessing that is. And so we've gone through these and now make our way to the east gate. You remember we said on last week, this gate is called the east gate. Simply because it is located on the furthest eastern section of the walls of Jerusalem. If you could see it in your mind's view tonight, if you could look at pictures of it or even the diagram we handed out some months ago in the beginning of this study, you'll find that the east gate is opposite that of the Mount of Olives with the Kidron Valley between the east gate and the Mount of Olives, the Kidron Valley running between them. This is believed to be the oldest gate of the city and is the gate that was nearest to the temple that's built in the days of Solomon. In fact, this gate is so close in proximity and is often referenced in the Word of God and in Scripture as the entrance to God's house. For to enter into the city of Jerusalem through the east gate, the first thing you would see as you entered in through that gate into the presence of God would be the stairs that would lead you up into the temple, there the house of God, that place of worship of God's name. The Jews believed that in the dome of this east gate as you would enter into it, and its breezeway as you entered into that, you were literally entering in to the glory of God. They believed that the presence of God from the house of God would be so real and powerful at times that even entering the east gate, amen, you could feel the breeze and the presence of God blow through that portal. And you knew that you were entering in somewhere unique and somewhere special. Amen. It was believed that at times the Shekinah glory of God would even be viewed as you made your way through the east gate into God's presence. And so to the Jew, this was a very important place and a very special place. We studied on last week and gave consideration at this east gate is where the Queen of Sheba would have entered into the city of Jerusalem. It was upon entering the east gate as she came through the breezeway and began to set her eyes upon the house that Solomon had built for the Lord. And as she laid eyes upon the stairway and seen the servants of the Lord busy in the ministry of God and seen the glory of God upon that house, and she began to be overcome by the beauty and the glory as a Gentile woman there that had come to see that she had heard. So overwhelmed she was, she declared, "At the half had not been told." And of all that she had heard and all that had been testified to her, and the very experience she had in laying her own eyes upon that place, that, my friend, it was so overwhelming that words had not even described Amen. That had been prepared for her to experience. And so we find that in the East Gate, that the East Gate then affects all sorts of humanity. And by that, we mean Jew and Gentile meet there, amen, to experience the presence of God. And so the East Gate, we said on last week, we ran several trails and tried to get us to our thought that we want to preach even tonight. And I don't want to belabor the point, but we looked at in the East Gate, there's the provision of Christ. Amen. The East Gate in those Old Testament times had what was attached to it, known as the causeway of the heifer. It was a bridge across the Kidron Valley. It connected the East Gate to the Mount of Olives. And this would be where the priests would bring the red heifer out of the temple and out of the city of Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives and there offer it as a separate sacrifice and offering for the purification of the things of the temple. What a testimony that offering is without getting into it of the Lord Jesus Christ and the provision He made for the purification of even our sin. And I'm glad, thank God, in Him is the provision. Amen. Sin has stained us, sin has defiled us, sin has brought us to death. Thank God in Christ, our offering and our sacrifice. Amen. There is a cleansing. The East Gate consists of two archways. If you can view it tonight, it's called the Golden Gate and the Iron which we live. You would notice that it has two archways. It's not one opening, but rather two archways. The portal to the right is known and called the Gate of Repentance. The gate to the left is called the Gate of Mercy. And so the Jews in that day would bring their offering into the East Gate. And they would come through the Gate of Repentance. Amen, that's how you got to come to God. You got to come repenting of your sin. Amen, you got to come acknowledging you're a sinner and confessing that. And being broken by that, you come to that place of sacrifice. And them Jews, when they laid their offering in the hands of the high priest, amen, it testified of a greater sacrifice it was to come. Amen, testifying of the Lamb of God that would take away their sin. Amen, and there they would put their faith in that. Amen, and when they left through the Gate of Mercy. Amen, oh, what preaching there is in that tonight, all speaking of the provision of Christ in the East Gate. We looked at the power of Christ in the East Gate for in Jesus' day. And in the days of the early church, the East Gate is also known in the Word of God as the Beautiful Gate. In Acts 3 and verse 2, that's where the lame man from his mother's womb was set. And he was begging of alms and begging for silver and begging for a handout to make it through the day. Amen. But on that day, there was two Baptist apostles that came out of the temple after the hour of prayer walking through the Beautiful Gate. And Peter said, "Look on us." And the man looked upon them, supposing to receive something from them. That day he didn't get silver and he didn't get gold and there wasn't no alms in the cup. Brother Charlie, Peter said, "Amen, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise, take up thy bed and walk." And the next time you saw that man, he's leaping through the temple. He's running through the East Gate. Amen, how did all that happen? It happened by the power of Christ. Amen, it happened as the beggar received the power of Christ. Amen, to rise from his lame condition. Amen, and was afforded a walk in newness of life. Amen, the East Gate then typifies the power of Christ. Amen, that takes us beyond our born condition. Amen, and introduces us to a brand new way of living. Well, I said I wasn't going to re-preach it, but I'm feeling good right now. Ain't you glad for the power of Christ that touched your life one day? Amen. It wasn't programs and money yet. Amen. Bailouts and handouts you needed. Amen. But in one moment of time, you got introduced to the power of Christ. And since that day, thank God, we've been able to walk. Amen. In newness of life. Amen. The provision of Christ and the power of Christ. But in the east gate, we see the presence of Christ. Amen. The presence of Christ. It is supposed by many historians and theologians. I don't really even understand how they derived this. I'm just telling you what they said. Amen. That this is believed by many to be the most frequent gate Christ used in his life. To enter the city of Jerusalem. Amen. One thing I do understand according to Scripture is that the last time Christ went in the city of Jerusalem in that triumphal entry upon riding upon an ass, amen, the crowds gathered round and sang hosannas unto his name. They praised him. They laid their coats in the way. They waved palm leaves as he entered in through the east gate. Amen. And testifying that, amen, Messiah had come. Amen. They were testifying the Son of David was among them. Amen. And so his presence, the presence of Christ, amen, is testifying in the east gate. Amen. I'm glad to know something about his presence tonight. I'm glad I know who he is. I know where to go to find it. Amen. I'm glad he walks in me and talks in me. Amen. Hey, I'm glad I'm not a stranger. Amen. To the presence of my Lord. Amen. And so the east gate in the Word of God typifies the presence of Christ. When we're bringing our text into view tonight, amen, when you study the east gate, it speaks of the promise of Christ. You see, Christ has made a promise that he's going to come again. It's interesting to me, the very name that is given to this gate, the east gate. At the word east means the rising of the sun. When we began to study the Word of God, and we could go to a lot of places, amen, no doubt the Word of God has much to say about this. But one thing I found interesting is that it's the east, this matter of the east, the rising of the sun is the direction from which Christ's return has been prophesied. In Malachi chapter number 4 and in verse number 2, Malachi said that, amen, that the Son of Righteousness shall arise. And when he does, he's coming with healing in his wings. And so, my friend, the rising, the Son of Righteousness, amen, is going to arise. Where does the sun get up? It gets to get up tomorrow morning. Amen. Where it got up this morning and where it's got up every morning since creation. Amen. The sun arises in the east. Amen. 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 Christ plainly promised he would come again. Amen. Well, again, we can run all sorts of references. John 14, 1 through 3. I suppose is some of the most familiar verses concerning the very promise that Christ would come again. He said to his disciples there in the upper room tonight, amen, he was going to be betrayed. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then he looked at those men with their troubled heart. He looked at them men with their confused mind. He looked at those men in all their wonderment of what in the world is getting ready to happen. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And so Christ has plainly said, I'm coming again. Amen. Over and over in his earthly life, over and over through the prophets and the apostles. Amen. It has been foretold that Christ is coming again. In fact, before he even came the first time, amen, Enoch, the sixth from Adam, was prophesied Behold, the Lord cometh, and he comes with 10,000 of his saints. Amen. I'm telling you what a blessed promise tonight. Amen. That has been made from cover to cover, that Jesus is coming again. And when Jesus spake of his coming, they came to him in Matthew in chapter 24. And in Matthew 24, his disciples said, Lord, what is the sign of the end? What are the signs of thy coming? And Christ, he began to teach them. Amen. He began to unfold some things unto them. And here's what he said in Matthew chapter 24. And let me get it right, verse number 27. Matthew 24, 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. Jesus said, when you see the lightning flash in the eastern sky, and that runs all the way across, and you see it in the west, and when the Son of God comes, he's coming back. He's coming back from an eastern direction. Amen. Your eyes ought to be set upon the eastern sky. Amen. He's coming back, and he said, I'm coming back from the east. Amen. In his ascension, amen, Christ left in ascension from the very Mount of Olives, that is the east side of Jerusalem. Amen. And while he was taken up from their sight, amen, two men in white apparel came down, amen, and said to them, men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into the heavens? Amen. They said to them, this same Jesus that ye have seen taken up from among you, amen, into glory, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. Amen. I'm telling you, the Bible said that from that moment of time, that they left the mount called Olivet and returned into Jerusalem. Part of the promise of his coming is, amen, he's coming right back, amen, from the same place he left this world 2,000 years ago. Amen. What is the promise? It is in relation to Jerusalem, in relation to the east gate. The Lord is coming from an eastern direction. Amen. And so when we speak of the east gate tonight, amen, we're speaking of the promise of Christ coming. Amen. What a spectacular doctrine. Amen. What a practical truth for our Christian life tonight. Amen. Wouldn't it be miserable? Amen. Wouldn't it be miserable? Amen. If all we had to look forward to, even as children of God, amen, as saved as we may be, had this world was all that there is. And I tell you what Paul said. He said, if we have hope in this world, this life only, we are of all men most miserable. Amen. But you know why we're not miserable? You know why we're not despondent tonight? Amen. It's because our eyes, amen, are set on the eastern sky, understanding that Christ has promised he's coming again. Amen. Amen. This world feels sorry for us, but they don't know what's coming from the east. Amen. I feel some preaching coming on. Amen. Y'all remember last week we told you about the prophecies that are made in Ezekiel 44, verses 1 through 3, and Zechariah 14, 4. Amen. It was prophesied when Christ comes again. Amen. He's coming back to the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split asunder his entrance into the city of Jerusalem. Ezekiel said, will be that the prince will open up the east gate. That is the gate from the east side of the city. Amen. Ezekiel prophesied in that prophecy, amen, that the gate would one day be sealed. Amen. The Holy Ghost let Ezekiel see something that wouldn't happen till 1530 AD. Amen. 1500 years after Christ's ascension, had the Ottoman Empire entered into Jerusalem, and Muslim leader and dictator and ruthless villain, amen, Solomon the Great entered in. And as he invaded Jerusalem and took it and brought it under Muslim control, he began to sit around and talk with those Jewish leaders. He began to listen as every time they seemed to talk, they spake of one called the Messiah. Amen. One that was coming to rule and reign and have an everlasting kingdom. How he would enter into the very city that Solomon and the Ottoman Empire had just invaded and taken for themselves. Solomon the Great got so disturbed about that, and he went to the gate of repentance, and he went to the gate of mercy, and he had them sealed out as an attempt to try to keep out, amen, the one that was to come again. Amen. He thought he could seal her out. He got so vile, he said, well, if that won't be enough, he planted a Muslim graveyard right in the front that you can see, amen, in front of the Golden Gate to this very day. There's a Muslim cemetery, amen, right in front of it. There's a Jewish graveyard, amen, that is just to the northern side, amen, and there's this massive graveyard called Solomon the Great. He said, surely a Jew will never walk through a graveyard. Surely a Jew will never be able to knock down this sealed eastern gate, amen, but they don't know the one that was here 2,000 years ago, amen. He walked out of a sealed tomb. Hey man, in the midst of a graveyard. He already conquered a graveyard. He already broke through a sealed tomb. And when it comes again, praise God, it'll be no trouble for him to walk through the graveyard and open the sealed eastern gate. Ezekiel said that when the prince comes, he's going to sit down and eat his bread and drink his wine. Amen. The beginning of the kingdom of our God, amen, is going to take place. Amen. When the eastern gate is opened again, amen, you can't get into it tonight. The Jews can't even enter into it tonight. It's been shut up. It's been shut down. Only archaeologists can make their way in. And they come out and they tell us about things that are in there. Brother Jack, one of these days, Jesus is coming again, and he's going to open her up, and we'll walk in with him through the east gate. Amen. He's coming again. Let's get it right. Amen. He's coming in the clouds for his church. Amen. 7 years later, after all hell's been unleashed in this world in the tribulation period, we're coming back. Amen. We'll ride behind the one on the white horse, a one whose name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, has many crowns on his head. Amen. We're coming back, praise God, when he returns again. Amen. Paul called this the blessed hope. Paul called it our blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The one who saved us is coming for us. Amen. Oh, praise God. The one who rules and reigns and all power has been given unto. Amen. We're coming back with him to this earth one day. Amen. Do you understand tonight the East Gate speaks of his promise to come again? Amen. So tonight, giving consideration to that, look in the text with me a minute. Hey, y'all, my watch died before service, so not that that means anything, amen, y'all understand that, but I just thought you wanted the info. Amen. God help us tonight. The East Gate then speaks of the church's relationship to the coming of Christ. You know what will help you purify your life? Remind yourself daily, Jesus is coming again. I'm telling you, the coming of Christ is something we sing about and shout about, and we should. Amen. But may I remind us tonight, amen, it has everything to do with how we live, amen, in this present world. Amen. Amen. Let me just get in the text so I don't get sidetracked. Amen. I want to show you three things that it may be quick and it may not be quick, but I'll get done with the East Gate tonight if the Lord will be our helper. It's just how the Lord put it in my heart. Amen. Number one, consider with me the church's prayer. prayer for Christ's return. A church's prayer for Christ's return. As we come to the East Gate section in Nehemiah chapter number 3, we are immediately introduced to the man responsible for the repair of this very East Gate. Notice with me, his name is Shemaiah. Shemaiah is his name. I don't believe it's no accident that Shemaiah, amen, this man responsible for him, that this is his name. Amen. His name literally means Jah, or the Lord has heard. Amen. Jah has heard. The Lord our God has heard. And it speaks in the prayer relationship between the Lord and His people. Now you say, preacher, what in the world does prayer have to do with Christ's return? Amen. I double dog dare you tonight when you get home, amen, to turn over to Revelation 22. Amen. Do you understand the last prayer that is prayed and made in your King James Bible? It's a prayer where Jesus declared, amen, I come quickly. I don't know if it was Jesus or John that said amen. Amen. But I do know John prayed. He whispered a prayer in that moment in the second to the last verse of your Bible today. Amen. John uttered a prayer and said, even so come Lord Jesus. Amen. Can I say, amen, the greatest prayer and desire that we have, amen, down in the recesses of our new man, amen, is a prayer and a desire, amen, to lay our eyes upon the one who gave his life for us, a one who loved us and gave himself for us and washed us in his own blood. Amen. There is a desire, amen, a prayer that he would come and get us out of this mess. Amen. What's your prayer life like tonight? You say, I ain't got nothing to pray about. Amen. Dear God, are you not living in this ungodly world? Is there not anything on the inside of you that desires to see him come from the eastern sky? Amen. I'm telling you, the last prayer, amen, testifies how many of God's children, amen, in this journey we're on, amen, since Christ saved us, amen, the prayer of our life and our heart has been for the coming, amen, the coming of our blessed hope. We're looking for it. We're begging for it. Amen. Somebody said, why'd John get so worked up and whisper that prayer? Did you not read Revelation and all he saw coming down the way? Amen. All the turmoil. Amen. All the signs of the Antichrist. All the sin. All the pollution. All the heartache and the heartbreak. All the rising of the very gates of hell. Amen. They were on the rise. And John the Beloved said, dear God, if only that's coming, Lord, we're praying that you'll come get us out of this mess. And I say, I'm glad he's coming again. I've asked him today to come today. So you want them people believe he's really coming? I really, really believe he's coming. I ain't got a doubt in my mind he's coming. Amen. You say, I don't believe all of that. Well, the Bible said in the last days there'll be scoffers that arise and say, where is the promise of his coming? For the true saved, born again child of God, we are not scoffers and we're not scorners. Amen. Brother A.L. in the secret place of begging God, would you send your son? Amen. You say we don't know when he's coming, but it's our heart's desire and prayer to our God. May it be today, may it be soon. Lord, send Jesus to get us quickly. Amen. Can I tell you that's the prayer God hears? Amen. You ever feel like God ain't hearing your prayers? Everybody listen now. When you pray and ask your Heavenly Father to send Jesus to come, that's a prayer He hears. Say, buddy, he ain't come yet. Yeah, but one of these days, amen, the God that's been hearing all our prayers, hearing all our desire, amen, he's going to send the answer. Praise God. Amen. But Charlie, the answer's coming from the east. Hey, the answer's coming from the east. Amen. I told you last week, amen, we got a generation there looking for signs. Amen. We're not looking for signs. We're listening for sounds, listening for the answer. Answer of our prayer. Amen. You might want to shout here now. I can't promise, amen, you'll have much to shout on here in a minute. The prayer for Christ's return. Amen. Oh boy. You know why? You know I could, and y'all are getting a little excited tonight. But me or Brother Keith could have preached this 50 years ago and they'd be climbing the walls and ripping the chandeliers out this ceiling.
Yes, sir.
Why don't we get excited about it anymore? I'm going to tell you why. Y'all want to know why? Do y'all really want to know why? Ask me why. Because we ain't praying for it.
Amen.
It ain't in our prayers. It ain't a part of our desires, of our heart. We have forgotten that great blessed hope. Amen. Oh, if you was a praying about it. Amen. When you heard a song about him coming again. Amen. When you heard the song just inside the eastern gate over there. Amen. You go, whoa, hallelujah. That's what I'm praying for. You know why we drag our tracks out, preacher preaches, his tonsils, amen, amen, hanging out and his gallbladder sticking up there, tickling him in the back of the throat, and we sit there like knots on the log. Amen, maybe we need to get back to having a prayer for Christ's return again. Amen, the church's prayer for Christ's return. If you're still with me, say amen. Number two, look in the text with me, the protection. Till Christ return. I'm glad that between here and there, we're in safekeeping. Look in the text with me. The Bible said, amen, the Bible said here and brings attention that is made concerning the heritage of Shemaiah. We read that he is the son of Shechaniah. The son of Shechaniah. Shechaniah means Jah, or the Lord has dwelt. It speaks of the Lord entering into a place and making it his abode. Immediately upon reading and defining that name, we are introduced to the keeper. Do y'all see that in your Bible? Amen. The keeper. Amen. You see the eastern gate and its association, the promise of Christ's return. Amen. There is a keeper that is involved. Amen. Oh, this word keeper, it means to hedge about. It means to guard, and I believe is a wondrous type of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. You see, one day God heard my sinner's cry. Amen. I cried to him and Jah heard me. And Jah came to where I was. And the Lord saved me by his grace. And my friend, he came, amen, to dwell in me by his spirit. And my friend, since that glorious day, until the trump of God sounds, I am, my friend, in safekeeping, amen, by this one who dwells in me. He, you see, he is the earnest of our inheritance. Amen. Amen. He's the earnest of our inheritance. He is the abode. Amen. He is made. Amen. As the presence of God. Amen. He has made his abode in our bodies, which are the temple of God. Now Jesus spake about this in John 16. Amen. He said, now I'm going to go away. And his disciples got looking at each other. Amen. And they didn't have to say it. Amen. They could see it in each other. Lazarus has. If he's gone away, what in the world are we going to do? How in the world are we going to make it? Our Master, our Lord, our Savior, it's one we've been invested in. Amen. Oh, he's gone away. And about that time, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Amen. I'm going back to my Father, and I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter. Amen. He shall be. Amen. He is with you and shall be in you. Now I say tonight, amen, I'm glad we're under good protection. Eternally secure. Amen. Can't get out if the devil wanted to get us out. Amen. That don't mean we can't sin. That don't mean we can't do wrong. I'm glad once saved, we're always saved. Amen. What the Word of God say? It said we're kept by the power of God unto salvation. Amen. We've not been appointed unto wrath, but my friend who obtained salvation. I'm glad, thank God, I've got one who is the keeper of my soul. Amen. The Holy Ghost, he is the keeper of my life till Christ comes again. You think about where we'd be if we had to keep ourselves. You wouldn't have kept in the first 24 hours. You wouldn't have what you have tonight. Amen, but I'm glad I'm in the hands of one that is able to keep me from falling. Amen, the one the Bible said is able, amen, to present us faultless before God. Amen, one of these days we're going to stand, amen, in the sound of the trumpet in his presence. Amen, and what we've been waiting for, the Holy Ghost is going to deliver us to. Boy, a lot of preaching we can preach here. Amen. The protection till Christ comes again. Amen. The protection till Christ returns. Amen. Oh, I'm glad tonight. Amen. I'm glad tonight there's one bigger than me keeping me. Amen. He's leading my life. Amen. Sometimes through the water, sometimes through the flood. Amen. But one of these days he's going to lead me right in the Eastern Gate. Amen. In the Holy Jerusalem. At Heavenly City on the other side. Amen. We'll enter in, and thank God we'll enter in. Amen. Saved, saved, saved by the keeping of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we see the prayer and the protection. Here's the main part of my burden tonight. Notice in the text, the church's pilgrimage to Christ's return. The church's pilgrimage to Christ's return. And this is maybe where it gets down to where the rubber meets the road tonight. I'm glad, thank God, we got a prayer and we get worked up and excited and wave our hand and pitch our babies and burn Chevrolets in the parking lot. Cause we can't help ourselves, Jesus is coming again. Thank God we can recognize doctrinally and even practically we're in the keeping hand of the Spirit of God till Jesus comes again. Here's what I want to remind us tonight. We're not home yet. We're still waiting on that blessed day. Say, preacher, what do you mean by pilgrimage? Notice in the text with me, the end of verse number 30, where the Bible said, after him repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah, over against his chamber. Chamber. Now, y'all that have been here throughout the duration over the last few months of this study, there are sections of this wall in conjunction of these gates where we read about men repairing over against his house. His house. His house. Over and over we've read about his house. But when you come to the east gate, there ain't no mention of a house. There's a mention of a chamber. Amen. Say, what's a chamber? The chamber refers to a room that has been prepared for habitation. Somehow the word house and the word chamber, amen, they're both speak of a habitation, but the chamber is not as permanent as a house is. A Shunammite lady came to her husband and said, you know, the man of God, Elisha, keeps coming around here. I got a burden. Can we build a chamber over here for him? Amen. It's where we get the term prophet's chamber. In other words, it wasn't Elisha's home, but just, hallelujah. Amen. When he's passing by and through the land, he just got a place to stay for a little while. Amen. Amen. Between wherever he's been, amen, to getting back to wherever home is, there's a chamber for him to rest himself. Oh, I feel some shouting coming on. Amen. This speaks to me tonight of the pilgrim life of the people of God. Just want to remind you this evening for the next little while we have together, this world is not our home. Amen. Amen. We don't have a home on this side. You say, oh, preacher, I've got an address. I'm not talking about, amen, a physical dwelling. I'm talking about, amen, a spiritual habitation. Amen, friends, since the day the Lord saved us. Amen, all before we got saved. Amen, the very second before he saved us. Amen, we were in the world and we were of the world. But in that moment, in that transaction of salvation, thank God there was a translation. Amen, thereby we are no longer of this world. Amen, meaning we have been saved to be pilgrims and strangers in this world. We don't fit in. We don't have no permanent home down here. Praise God, we're pilgrims passing through. We're of the seed of Abraham. Amen. He dwelt in physical tents. Amen. Looking for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Amen. But spiritually today, amen, we're of his seed and we are pilgrims. We are tent dwellers. We are chamber dwellers in this world. I'm a preaching a generation of Christians who have forgotten we're just pilgrims. You see, pilgrims don't fit in. Strangers are strangers because the land they're walking through is strange to them. Can I remind you, we're not citizens down here. We don't talk like the world. We don't look like the world. We don't think like the world. We don't, my friend, fit in with the things that are in this world. I wonder, John the Beloved, in writing the church in Ephesus, said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. For all that is in the world, amen, the lust of the lust of the eyes, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Amen. This is not of the Father, it is of the world, and that these things are going to pass away. What some of you who claim you're saved and claim you're headed to heaven and claim you're going to be there when Christ returns. Amen. I'm afraid there's many tonight living for the things of this world. You're living for things that are going to pass away. You're living for things that are not eternal. You have forgotten the day you gave your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, friend, that was not your free ticket. Amen, out of hell. That was not, my friend, your fair insurance. Amen, to just escape the eternal damnation of hell. Amen, on that day, it was a commitment. Amen, to be a child of God and to be a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. Amen. Amen. Heaven's our home. To be where Jesus is, we'll finally say, thank God, this is where I fit in. If you fit in with this world, it is great and spiritual evidence that something is wrong in your life. We are pilgrims waiting for Christ to bring us home. Amen. Amen. Let me give you this. Notice in the text, are y'all still with me? Say amen. Amen. Y'all are winding down and I'm just getting wound up. Amen. Notice with me, after him repaired Meshullam. You know what Meshullam's name means? It means allied. Amen. It speaks of one who is a friend to God. You know, amen. You know the crowd that are pilgrims. You say, how do I know if I'm a pilgrim? How do I know, amen, if I'm really truly waiting on the return of Christ? Amen, can I remind you tonight, amen, the ones that Christ is returning for are those that are allied with Him.
Amen. Yes, sir.
This world is not our friend.
Amen.
Some of y'all think the world, you know, it just ain't all that bad. I want to remind you tonight, if you're saved, the Word of God said the world is your enemy. You have believed the lie of the world that if you'll just go their way, they'll love you. Jesus said the world can't love you. They hated me and they're going to hate you. They don't even love their own. I'm so glad I'm saved tonight. 25 years ago, I got on Jesus' side. Amen. I made an alliance with Him. He made one with me. And by the grace of God, since that day, I've been a friend of the Lord. I'm not telling you I've always done right. I'm not telling you I've always walked in that friendship. Amen. But it's a growing in my heart. The longer I'm saved, amen, the longer I'm one of His children, amen, the alliance is not getting weaker, it's getting stronger.
Amen.
Meshullam, allied. On the Lord's side, the friend of God. Meshullam's called the son of Berechiah. Oh, I love this. Amen. Meshullam speaks of a pilgrim, one allied with God. He's in a journey. He don't have a house. All he has is a chamber to stay just a little while in. But he's the son of Berechiah. Brother Larry, don't miss this. I know these are Hebrew names. I'm not trying to sound smart. It's just how God gave it to me now. Berechiah's name means the knee or the blessing of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody comes to Meshullam and Shemaiah. We say, boy, I feel sorry for you. Feel sorry for you. Such a pilgrim, such a long journey. And I can see Meshullam and Shemaiah break out in a good stanza of, it's been a long journey, but I've been blessed. Are we pilgrims? You better believe we are. Thank God one thing we've got going for us. Amen. No matter how long the journey is, no matter how long it is till the eastern sky breaks open and the trump of God sounds and we get out of here and we'll forever be with the Lord. Amen. In our pilgrimage. Amen. Waiting for that blessed day. Amen. Because we're on the Lord's side, we're reaping the blessings of God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Will y'all bear with me just a little while? Are we in a long journey? You better believe it. This verse speaks of the church's pilgrimage till Christ's return. Let me lead you on a little journey through this section here in verse number 30. Notice with me two things, really three things, but two main things and a closing thing, and we're out of here. Notice the Bible speaks of a man by the name of Zalath. Zalath speaks of, now don't miss it now, speaks of the fractures in our pilgrimage. Zaleph means ispa, Jeremy. It means to break into pieces or to fracture. Now, I say something tonight we'll all be able to identify with if you've been saved any length amount of time at all. In our pilgrimage, there's a lot of times our hearts are broken. We experience broken hearts. There are broken dreams. There are broken plans. There are things that crush us into a million pieces along this pilgrimage. And these things, my friend, they hurt it. And they bring sorrow into our life and tears down our cheek. And sometimes in the midst of the fractures that we experience in this life, we wonder, is the pilgrimage really going to be worth it? You see, my friend, God didn't lie to us before He saved us and set us on this course. He didn't promise a road without any bumps in it. The Apostle Paul said about his own life, he spake of beatings and betrayals and of his bonds. He spake of, my friend, people doing him wrong and walking away. Amen. Paul had all that happen in his life. Amen. And there were times, no doubt, amen, the fractures, the brokenness in the pilgrimage got hard for Paul to deal with. He spake of hardship. You see, when we come to Christ to be saved, Christ wasn't painting some rosy picture of deception to get us to come to Him and then turn us out, amen, into a pilgrimage and a life and a journey, amen, of hardship. We knew when I got saved, I knew what His Word said. Before you get to glory, you're going to have some heartbreaks. Losses, disappointments. Everybody listening? Things are not always going to go the way that you desired for them to go. These things are designed by a sovereign God who knoweth the way that I take. Though I be tried after I'm tried, He has a way of bringing us forth His gold. Yes, Job, in Job chapter number 1, how's things going? Job would lift his hands and say, man, it ain't ever been better. The wife's sweet. The children are behaving themselves. The crops are growing. The cattle's are growing. The herds are getting larger. There's more money in the bank than there's ever been before. But you come to chapter number 3, and Job is cursing the very day of his birth. Amen. Wishing that he had never even been born. Why? Because he got broken in his Christian journey. There are days that is going to happen. There are seasons we go through that don't seem to make a lick of sense. It don't seem to be for our good. It don't seem to be productive in our life. Even tucked away in Nehemiah chapter number 3 around the east gate, Christ is coming again. Woo! Hallelujah! He's coming again. But until then, guess what? You're going to be fractured. Boy, that's depressing, ain't it? It's honest. It's real. That's right, Brother Mike. It's real. Can I show you something? I nearly got on my desk and had an utter shouting spell, just me and the Holy Ghost. Zaleph means fractured. Fracturing, the fracturing of our pilgrimage, in our pilgrimage. But can I show you the favor in our pilgrimage? For every hardship, there's grace. Amen. For every fracture, there is the favor of God. I'm about to jump on this pulpit. Look in the text tonight. The Bible said after him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan. Notice the names Hananiah and the name Hanan. They sound a lot alike, don't they? They're very, very similar. Hananiah, Brother Keith, means Jah or the Lord has favored. Hanan just simply means favored.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Notice with me that God's grace, oh, we may be fractured along the way. Amen. We may be broken along the way. Amen. We may cry and we may weep along the way of our journey. But it is God's grace that helps us in the times of our brokenness. Amen. There's only one name. It means fracture. There's two names. It means favor. Amen. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying that God's grace and favor is twice as great as the fracturing is. Oh, you say, preacher, I'm so busting right now. You hang on because there's double the favor coming your way. Amen. Grace is working on our behalf. I wonder the songwriter said it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amen. Ain't you glad for the favor and the grace of God? You take God's favor out of your life, you'd have not made it the last time something crushed you. Amen. I'm a preaching to people today and have been through things I can't even imagine going through. Amen. I can't even imagine what it'd be like. Amen. To face some of the things you dear saints of God had been through. Amen. But I can testify today and He's been a faithful God and He sent His favor for every fracturing in my life. Amen. Glory to God and bless His holy name. Amen. You see, I ain't made it this far. Amen. Cause I fought real fervently. Amen. I ain't made it this far. Amen. Cause I'm strong. Amen. I've been broke a time or two. Amen. Into thousands of pieces. And thank God it's been His grace and His blessing and His favor that's kept me in the way. Amen, amen. Don't you let the devil lie to you. Amen, I'm telling you, you got a good God.
Amen.
You got a God who's got, amen, twice as much grace as what you need tonight. When He gets done, He'll favor your life. You stay in the old time way. You don't, my friend, make this world your hope. You keep your eye on the eastern sky. Amen. Stay friends with God. Stay allied with God. God's got favor for those who are on His side. Hallelujah. Amen. If I ain't preached so long, I'd take a lap around this place. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, God's favor is what gets us along the way. Can I give you the last name that I haven't dealt with? And if you don't like this kind of preaching, I'm sorry. It's just the way the Lord's give it to me. Amen. Let me give you this last thought and I'm done. We see the fracturing and yet the favor in our pilgrimage. Notice with me, the name Shelemiah. Shelemiah. So, preacher, what's his name mean? It means thank offering of the Lord. Thank offering of the Lord. So what's that got to do with anything? I think one of these days we're going to hear the trump of God sound. Christ is coming for us in the clouds. We're going to be with Him where He is, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, the Apostle Paul said. When we get there, won't be nobody walking around with their peacock chest and feathers blowed up. Every one of us, one by one, coming through the eastern gate of the heavenly city, we'll have to lift our hands and bow our head and say, thank you, Jesus. See, you ain't spiritual enough to make it through this thing without His help.
Amen.
You ain't strong enough to make it in this world, this ungodly world we're in. You're not strong enough to make it. Amen. Through all that we're going through, the favor of God sustains us. And the mercy and the goodness of the Lord is following us all days of our life. Amen. It's behind us. It's around us. It's above us. It's under us. And it's leading the way. And when we get home, every child of God will have to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessings on me. Thank you for walking me all the way home. Thank you for not leaving me in that ungodly mess. Amen. I'm telling you, we're pilgrims. One of these days, we're going to get home and be able to say, Lord, thank you. Some of y'all got an eye on the world. I promise you, if you get on God's side, when we really get home, where it really counts, you'll be glad you stayed on God's side.
Amen.
It'll be worth everything we faced in His dear name. Ain't you glad about that? Say, preacher, all of that in a verse and a half, that's just how God gave it to me. Glad Christ is coming again. The Bible said, he that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself. If you're really truly born again and a pilgrim-minded child of God, what I preach tonight stirs your heart to say, you know what? He is coming again. I want to live for Him. If this kind of preaching does not stir you, I would highly question your salvation.
Amen.
If it don't make you want to live for God, and raise the bar and raise the standard and say, all to Jesus I surrender. He's the only reason I live. I get to see Him one day.
Amen.
If it don't stir something in your heart to say, I want to live for Him, I'd put a big question mark over my soul and get on my knees tonight and say, dear God, what is wrong with me?
Amen.
Are you a pilgrim? Do you ever feel out of place in this world and say, thank God I am?
Amen.
There are days, and I know there's a reproach. Can we be honest tonight? I'm done. I'm just... I don't want to leave, so I'm holding you a minute longer. There is a reproach that comes with being a child of God. The reproach ain't a fun thing to bear. You know the looks you get when they see you coming. Look at how she's dressed. One of them fuddy-duddies. You see it, you feel the reproach directed your way. So I'm not denying there's not some of that. I tell you what, Brother Mike, I know, just call me an old man or whatever you want to call me. The longer I'm saved, the older I get, and the more I see in this world, when I get feeling that real uncomfortable feeling and I don't fit in, there's times I find myself, I'm glad I don't fit in this mess. The longer I'm saved, the closer we're getting to Christ's return, there's a little less reproach and a whole lot more rejoicing.
Yes, amen. 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 Amen.
Yes, sir.
Where I go,
I don't care what they think.
Seriously, y'all think a man can become a woman? I'm glad I don't fit in this bunch of mess.
That's right.
Y'all think you can kill babies and you're being virtuous and doing the work of God? I'm glad I don't fit in with you bunch of reprobates. There's something on the inside. The reproach is getting smaller and the rejoicing is getting greater. Is that right? Am I preaching it right? I'm preaching it right. Quit worrying about what this world thinks.
Amen.
Jesus is coming any day now.
Amen.
If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you better get saved. Some of y'all got saved mamas, saved daddies, saved brothers and sisters, and some of you got saved children. You've never been saved yourself, you better get saved. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
You'll be left behind to face all that is coming your way, all the wrath of God, all the gates of hell that are going to descend and arise upon this generation. It's coming your way. If you're not saved, you better get saved.
Amen.
If you are saved, dear God, have a revival of a pilgrim life.
Amen.
Quit worrying about what this world thinks about you.
Amen.
Start getting your eyes on the day we're going to get to see our darling Savior.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for helping us tonight.